French author Victor Hugo has a terrific short story titled 93. In the midst of the tale, a ship at sea is caught in a terrific storm and buffeted by the waves. The boat rocks back and forth, to and fro, and suddenly the crew hears an awesome crashing sound below deck, and they know exactly what it is. You see, they're carrying a cannon, and that cannon has broken loose, and it's smashing into the ship's sides with every list of the ship. Well, two brave sailors, at the risk of their own lives, manage to go below and fasten it again, for they know that the heavy cannon on the inside of their ship is more dangerous to them than the storm on the outside. So it is with people. Problems within are often much more destructive to us than the problems without. Today, God's word would take us below decks, if you will, to look inside ourselves concerning this whole matter of forgiveness. Everybody is in debt. In the text, Jesus tells of a king who decides to settle accounts with his servants. One man's brought before him who owes 10,000 talents. Now, the modern equivalent would be about $3.5 billion. Yes, I said billion. So this subject was hopelessly enslaved to debt. Yet another fellow in the text is mentioned as owing about 100 denarii, which today equals about $5,800, still a large sum, but nothing compared to the other one. So everybody in the text is in debt. Some owe a lot, and some are indebted a little. But all owe somebody. Now, the text also makes it clear that the terrible consequence of being in debt was debtor's prison. Why? Well, when a bill became past due and one couldn't pay, the creditor had the right to seize you and throw you into the rat-infested dark of a dungeon. And there you remained until you paid every cent or died. You've been in debt, haven't you? Remember the fear, the worry? Things got rather bleak, didn't they? One holds his head down and avoids all contact. Frustration compounds fatigue and leaves you drained. God is saying that unforgiven sin in our life is like those unpaid debts. They weigh heavily upon us, whether it's a little sin or a huge amount of sins. I remember before I married Sharon, I carried a significant debt I had incurred through a small business that I had started trying to make some extra money while I was still a high school teacher. Now, when I got to the seminary, I didn't have the time anymore to work the business. And I have to admit, I was truly ashamed to tell my future wife about my debt. I remember the guilt I felt when I explained to her that, well, my net worth was significantly south of zero. I also remember reading Dostoevsky's novel, Crime and Punishment. There's a similar tale in the novel, well, really little more than the tale of a young fascist poor student who murders a rich old lady so he can get her money and continue his studies. But the student, hounded by guilt, pursued by his sins, finally confesses his crimes and is punished. Eloquently, so eloquently, Dostoevsky shows us what the real world is really like. A world where sin comes due like all debts must. They must be paid in full because the creditor will eventually call us to account. Now, I didn't murder any rich old ladies so that I could pay my debts and pay my way through seminary, but I could certainly relate to the shame and guilt and the heavy burden Dostoevsky's characters felt. The fact is, we're all sinners. We all owe a significant debt to God. Our net worth on the grand cosmic scale would certainly add up to something far south of zero. Some of us owe a lot. Some of us are sin indebted a little. But each of us, like the debtors in the text, must settle accounts with the King, God Almighty himself. Forgiveness is available. So in the text, everybody owes something. Now, this, according to the parable that Jesus told, forgiveness is available. The king, in calling his subjects before him, finds one who owes $3.5 billion. Now we think surely Jesus is exaggerating here, but according to Roman tax records of the time, all of Israel's taxes for 1 year amounted to about $800,000. So Jesus was saying this man was hopelessly indebted. His bills were impossible to pay. Yet the debtor grovels before the king and says, "Please be patient with me. Just give me a little more time." Basically, he declares, "I will repay you in full." And the king had pity on him. Now, rather than throwing him in jail, he simply forgave him his debts and let him go. Jesus is saying God is like a king who has pity on our tremendous debt, pity on us. And he's willing to cancel our impossible debts, and he's willing to forgive. Of course, we know that Jesus made this forgiveness possible by shedding his blood on the cross and paying our enormous debt with his very life. Now, did you know that the Greek word for forgive means to let loose? Yeah, that's right. It's like a terrible knot that suddenly gives and is completely untied. It's like a dark bondage from which there is sudden release. What a great relief it is when we are relieved from our debt, just like Sharon loved me in spite of my debt and released me from it. Now, I want you to try a little experiment when you get home later today, or when you go outside later on. It's supposed to be a nice day. Do this. Take a trash can lid, lay it on a healthy portion of your lawn. It's still green, so lay it there for about a week. Afterward, lift the lid and look under it. You'll see some really pale, sickly-looking grass. You'll see roaches and worms nesting in the dark decay of that withered grass. That's what sin does to us. Then after a week, put the lid back down on the grass. Does the grass have the power to remove the lid all by itself? Of course not. That's impossible. And yet again, we are like the man in our text with an impossible debt to the king. We're helpless to free ourselves. Now, when you finish this experiment with the lid and the grass, take the lid away and the bugs will flee. The grass begins to receive sunshine and moisture. Its health is revived and restored. It's literally forgiven, let loose from bondage and decay. Forgiveness is just like that. What we can't pay, God pays. God lets us loose from debts of sin and frees us to new life. Well, to put it another way, he took what was theft, turned it into a debt, then took what was debt and turned it into a gift, and then paid the full amount of the gift out of his own pocket. You can see immediately what happened. The debtor owed a debt he couldn't pay, and the king paid a debt he did not owe. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. I want to tell you again in the simplest of terms, at Calvary, the sin debt we owed but could not pay was paid fully by a man that did not owe. He did not forgive part of our sin. He forgave all of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, the forgiven should forgive. So let's get back to our fascinating parable. We've already seen that everybody owes somebody in the text, and that forgiveness of debts is available from a merciful king. But now we get to this part. When forgiven our debts, we know that we should forgive others their debts also. But in the parable, after the king forgave the man his $3.5 billion debt, and he lets him loose, he lets him out of it, and now what does this free man do? Well, he goes out and happens upon a fellow who owes him, in comparison, a rather paltry amount. And he seizes that man by the throat and he demands, "Pay what you owe me." When the fellow says he can't and asks for patience, Well, the man throws him in debtor's prison. And then someone goes and tells the king. So what does the king do? Well, he recalls the man, derides him for his wickedness, and explains, "Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?" And then in anger, the king delivers the unforgiving man to the jailers until he pays the $3.5 billion, which, if you didn't catch on yet, ain't never going to happen. The man has been unaffected by the king's generosity, and there will literally be hell to pay. Some story, isn't it? This parable that Jesus told. And yet the point is abundantly clear. If God forgives us, we must be about forgiving others. I remember once talking with a lady who had been hurt 6 years ago. During that time, she had never forgiven the individual who'd sinned against her. Instead, she nursed her grudge, schemed of glorious get-even tactics, and meditated on hatred. And so now she was tired all the time, her face was hard, and she wore a mask of bitterness. She was neurotic. Man, was she neurotic. Such negativism and compulsive criticism as you have never seen. But what do you expect? With her mind so focused on evil all the time. And so we talked. She was a Christian, and I suggested that she let her debtor loose, just as God had let her loose. Well, finally, the woman decided, "I guess I'll pardon her, as you suggest, but I don't want anything more to do with her." "Is that how you'd like God to forgive you?" I asked. "To pardon you, but then have nothing more to do with you?" Well, she saw the point. And forgiveness flowed, and this withered woman again began to thrive. It's the point of the whole text. When we begrudge someone, refuse to forgive, someone goes and tells the king. They tell God, and according to the text, we're turned over to the jailers. Now, the Greek word for jailers is literally tormentors or torturers. We are tormented when we are unforgiving. Years ago, on a television show, a comic character was angry with another fella, and he said, "I'm tired of him slapping me on the chest every time he sees me. I've told him to quit, but he won't. So I'm ready for him. I've got me 3 sticks of dynamite strapped right here to my chest. Next time he hits me, it'll blow his arms off." Well, that first character was about to find out that his grudge was going to cost him as much or more as it was going to cost the other fella. The fire he'd kindled for his enemy was going to burn him more than the other. My friends, when you're playing with unforgiveness, with grudges and hatred, you're playing with dynamite. You're playing with fire. And one of the most deadly things you can do to yourself is to be unforgiving. It's true. The text says so. It says that unforgiveness ruins your relationship with God. It ruins your relationship with other people. It imprisons you with torturers. And that torturers will last forever unless something is done about it. So here's my question for you today. Will you let go? Is there anyone that you're angry with? Is there anyone you are still holding a grudge against? Has someone done you wrong that you haven't forgiven? And what about you? Have you called on God to forgive you? You know your debt's impossible to pay. So I hope you're not like the fool in this parable who just wanted a little more time so he could scrounge up $3.5 billion. How long will that take? Well, eternity won't be enough time. Have you faced God and told him that you're helplessly a debtor to sin and prayed for mercy? You can be let loose from your sins in Jesus. You need not carry the weight of that sin any longer. Jesus has willingly taken it from you. Your debt is forgiven. Your sins are removed. Thanks be to God. And what about your own debtors? Forgiven? Are you now forgiving? Or are you bearing grudges? holding debts over others, and thus ruining your own relationships while being tormented yourself. Just like the unleashed cannon in Victor Hugo's story, are there burdens of unforgiveness crashing around inside you, tearing your guts out, tormenting you with the rise and sink of every day? But I can't forgive, you say. Oh, but you can. The trouble is, you haven't wanted to. You haven't asked Jesus to help. You've tried to do it all on your own. So right now, ask Jesus to take your hand and go below decks with you. Tell him you're weak, that you're afraid, that you'll fail. Tell him the person who hurt you deserves to be punished. God knows, but Jesus has already been punished for your tormentor's sin, just as he was for your sin. My friends, the price has already been paid. Why pay it again? The debt has been removed. So tell Jesus you are willing to forgive. You're willing to go with him and take care of all the troubling things within. Yes, just tell Jesus you're willing. Ask him to give you power to forgive through you. And the healing, oh, the healing, it will begin. Amen.